Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello and welcome to Video Games Now. My name's Rodney, and I'm, of course, joined by the witty and the gritty, the jack-of-all-trades of video games, Will.
Hey, everyone.
And the guy who's built like a brick shithouse, the lean and mean, Mark, a.k.a. Pex.
How's it going, everyone?
All right, so sorry we didn't bring you a podcast last week. We got a huge dump of snow, and we just, we're unable to do anything with our lives because the snow sucked. We got classic games for you this podcast, and where do we draw the lines with classic games? Like, which console do we cut it off at, Will? What do you think?
I would say classic would be considered anything before the Wii. The Wii is like the line, I think.
Yeah, I kind of agree. Mark, what about you?
Yeah, I would tend to agree with that. GameCube, I think, was probably the last classic system that I loved.
Yeah, okay. All right, so, two against one for the Wii, so everything from the Wii and before coming up right now. All right, here we go. So, classic games. So, Will, what do you think? Well, like, what's your favorite classic game? Let's just start with that.
Now we talked about it. Literally, we have to draw the line classic and retro. So, you say GameCube. I'm going to say the Wii. Anything, like, around the day I'm born, that I'm going to consider retro. Now, classic for me, I was a big fan of Fable. What about you guys?
There's so many, man. I'm a big RPG fan, so for me, like, I remember playing Chrono Trigger for the first time, where like everything you did had an effect on everything, and that game gave me the feels, and that was probably the first RPG that I played that was just awesome. Loved it.
Yeah, classics for me are, like, I had the NES, so I played Mario for hours and got frustrated when I couldn't get past level 4 or world 4. Mario 3, Duck Hunt, all those classics, those were the ones that stick out in my mind. I didn't own a Super Nintendo, but I played all the Super Nintendo games that you would obviously play.
What was your favorite Mario?
The first one I got with my 64 obviously was Mario 64, because it was a release title. But it's hard to say. I Galaxy was really good. I like Galaxy. It was good.
For me, it would have to be Mario Sunshine. That one was just awesome. The Mario 64 was good because it was like the first one to do it kind of like that. But Mario Sunshine, man, walking around with a little jetpack, cleaning off all the guys, didn't get much better than that.
Will, you're going to throw some shade on this. I'm picking up here.
A little bit. I did not expect Mark to actually bring up Sunshine, and he literally caught me off guard, and I'm going to say I'm actually very impressed. So, good on you, Mark.
Yeah.
Yes. Sunshine was a different style to the Mario franchise, but as Rodney here already said, N64 kind of brought in more of that 3D aspect. And Mario 64 really was just fun to sit down and play, no matter what.
The stupidest Mario, probably Paper Mario. Can we all agree on that?
No, I like Paper Mario. Paper Mario was a lot of fun. The 64 one was like, that's cute. Thousand Year Door for the GameCube was like A+. And then the one for the Wii came out and it's like, why? Why would you make such an atrocious piece of gaming mechanics?
The last one for the DS was actually pleasantly fun to play. I enjoyed it. I can't remember the name because like we play way too many games and my brain just can't keep up with everything.
Yeah, Color Splash is what it was called. And it brought back the classic Paper Mario feel, but it just brought back memories of the Wii one. If you look at the Wii Paper Mario as its own game, it's fine. Like, it's a fun game, but as a part of the Paper Mario series, it's kind of meh.
Another good one for 64 was the first release of Pokemon Stadium. Like, I thought that was awesome. We need to get a remake for either the Switch or for Xbox or even for PlayStation.
You're like earning your weight here today in classics. As I thought you'd be talking about, oh yeah, Spyro and Crash Bandicoot, but you're like all into Nintendo here.
Spyro was awesome. That was like the first game I played for PlayStation.
Yeah, but I agree. Pokemon Stadium was really, really awesome. The second one even was really awesome. But a game, Will, I'll let you go before I move on here.
If we're going to talk about Pokemon Stadium, I know Rodney and I have talked about this before. I don't know if you've played this, Mark, and we really want another, either a remake, a sequel, I don't know, Pokemon Snap. Like, come on.
Yeah, that's actually what I was going to bring up next. The Wii U was the perfect console for Pokemon Snap, either a remake or a sequel. Come on, like, really?
I don't get it. I don't get what is with Pokemon Snap. I just... going around the little cart, taking pictures. Didn't seem too fun for me. Didn't like it. Thought it was the worst game.
Well, yeah. Well, yeah, if you put it that way, I guess. But when you play the game, it was actually fun. And there was only 150 Pokemon at the time, right? You don't have to go around and try to catch all 700.
So instead of going around playing like Red, Blue, you're just sitting in there taking pictures of them. I just didn't get it.
All right, man. I'm going to have to cut you off there. Pokemon Snap was a lot more than that. I'm betting you didn't really get into the game too hard, but there is a lot of strategy. There is secret Pokemon in those levels that you had to do quite a bit to get them to even pop out of their hiding spot.
Yeah, you throw an apple at it. you know what I mean? So you throw an apple at it, and it's like, oh, Electrode exploded, oh, new area. Like, so now besides taking pictures, now we're, you know, making animals angry at us.
I guess maybe that's why we don't have another Pokemon Snap. That would be PETA's fault.
This is true, yeah.
Do we really know how well Pokemon Snap did? I mean, did they just not make another one because it sucked?
I'm pretty sure it was a pretty big seller. Like, it did get re-released on the Wii as a DLC, or what was it? The Wii Store.
So you're going as far as saying it's a classic?
Oh, definitely.
I'm just looking at IMDb, or not IMDb, IMDb for video games, which is Wikipedia, and it doesn't tell you how many copies it sold in its lifetime, unless I'm like development. Yeah, I'm not really seeing anything here, but it was released in North America on July 26, 1999, right in the middle of the Nintendo 64's life cycle. I mean, it has good ratings. It's got like 83 out of 100 from EGM and 33 out of 40. 40, really? you couldn't go to 50. You had to stay at 40. Well, that was from Famitsu. GamePro is giving it 4 out of 5 stars. Game Revolution, C+. Just to be different, they had to grade it like a school paper. It was a C+ at best. All right, so moving on here. So let's just go back to the beginning here, the NES. Mark, did you play the NES at all?
No, my first system was Sega Genesis, and first game I played was Street Fighter, which was awesome.
Oh yeah, Street Fighter, yeah. Well.
And that's another classic system we didn't really bring up there, is we didn't really talk about Sega when they had their when they were making consoles.
Well, maybe because Sega was not the best console out of all the classic consoles. That's why it was listed in the top 10 we did.
I don't know, man. I liked Sega better than NES when it came out.
Yeah, no, I disagree. Will, go ahead.
So, I'm going to agree a little with Mark here, mainly because I was a huge Sonic head when I was growing up. And if anyone know, you guys know me, I own every console. If it comes out, I own it. And I'm not really big on trading in games, so I have a massive collection at home as well. And I still have games going back to the Genesis and everything else. So, yes, I think Sega is very underrated for what it put out. And I really hope sooner or later people realize what Sega brought to the game industry.
Did you own a Dreamcast?
Yes, I did.
So you're like the black sheep of this whole crowd. You're I don't know anyone that owned a Dreamcast. Actually, I know one other person, and they were like, "Yeah, I'm selling my Dreamcast." So, yeah, it's like you and that other person that was carrying them along for a while.
Dreamcast had some really good games. I'm going to bring up a fighting game that it's kind of really hard to find. I picked it up a couple years ago at PAX when I was with Rodney, and Rodney didn't understand why I spent so much money on the game, but I'm going to say Power Stone. It ended up getting a Fox cartoon in the morning on their cartoon channel for Saturday, but I was a very big fan of the Power Stone series, 1 and 2.
I can't say that I played or even looked for a moment at Power Stone, so I have nothing to say about it.
I actually can't say that I've ever heard of Power Stone. That's you're on your own on that one.
Was that for the Genesis? Yeah. See, I didn't have a Genesis. Like, I barely glanced towards the direction of the Sega Genesis. So,
Dreamcast.
Sorry, the Dreamcast. Good thing I. Yeah, I'm dead to you now. So,
moving on though, with the Sega, like after the NES with the Super Nintendo, when they had Mega Man come out, I think Mega Man was on Sega 2, wasn't it? Or was it just
It was on the NES, wasn't it?
It was Nintendo.
Yeah.
Didn't Capcom? I thought Capcom made for Sega.
I can't remember. I'm pretty sure back then, most of Capcom's deals were with Nintendo exclusively, but I could be wrong. This is something I might look up in a second for you, but yeah.
Okay, but we can all agree Mega Man was a sick game.
Oh yeah. Shout out to Igor Raptor. He did a sweet video called it's a series called Sequelitis, and he's talking about the first Mega Man and the second Mega Man, and like kind of how you make a sequel basically, or comparing the two. So the first one, it's like, oh yeah, it's Mega Man. Yeah, what he's going on about it, and then the second one, he's like, this is like the perfect game. It's exactly it basically trains you from the beginning without any tutorial, like how to play the game. Like, you jump into the, it like level is, oh, it's perfect. If you got time to watch it, and then after that watch the Sequelitis for Link to the Past and Ocarina of Time. That's one of my favorites. It's like 30 minutes long, but hey, if you're gonna listen to this thing for 30 minutes, then you might as well listen to that.
I'm gonna jump in, and since I just looked this up, Mark, you're really earning your stripes today, because Mega Man was on Sega consoles.
That's what I thought, man. I was, when I was younger, when I had the Sega, so I was probably like 5 or 6, I think. But I remember there was a few games I played. Street Fighter was one of them, and yeah, Mega Man was the other one.
I really enjoyed Mega Man, but I'm going to have to say there are some times where I rage quit. I remember playing this on the Game Boy, and just that little screen, I you know, even as a kid, man, like just that fireball coming out from behind me when I'm jumping, and that was it.
Yeah, you're definitely earning your stripes like Will said, but yeah, we got to upgrade you to like lead host or something now.
There's another one that's pretty classic, which was on the Super Nintendo, was Battletoads. Do you remember that one?
Yeah, that one
was a good one.
Yeah, I remember that one. I didn't play it though.
Now, if I remember Battletoads, was that not a Rare game?
I'm not sure if it was a Rare game or not, but I just remember the game. I remember me and my buddy playing it all the time. That was a good one.
Well, I have it at home. I don't have time to go home now and check it out. But on the Rare replay, I'm pretty sure Battletoads was on there. So I think that was one of Rareware's original games when they were still under contract with Nintendo before Microsoft purchased them in 2002.
What is it? There's Battletoads, Double Dragon too. Wasn't that a Rare title as well? And so, we're also forgetting Star Fox too, which was an awesome Rare game.
Star Fox wasn't Rare. It was was the original one Rare? No, I don't think so. Yeah, the first one for the SNES, it wasn't a Rare game. Rare was too busy cashing in on Donkey Kong Country. That's
So, come on, Rodney, you got to speak up a little bit. Come on, tell us about some of the classics you've played.
Hey, give me a break here. I'm like doing like 18 things at once here. Classics I played. I do like the old SNES games, like I said, Donkey Kong Country, and I probably put so many hours into the 64, which is why it was like number one, top 10. You know, I don't know how many people actually agree with that because nobody leaves comments on our social media page. So hint, hint, audience there. the 64 I put a lot of hours in. I played so many hours of Pokemon Puzzle League. And then we went to PAX last year, and they're like, Pokemon Puzzle League tournament. And I'm like, man, I've been waiting my whole life to just challenge somebody and just wreck them at Pokemon Puzzle League. So I saw this ahead of time. Or no, I brought my 64 down just because. And then I saw this, and I'm like, buddy, I'm going to play Puzzle League and just like get like ridiculously conditioned to the game. And we went back to our hotel room, and I'm like playing this thing on super hard and like not breaking a sweat. And I'm like facing Mewtwo, and I'm like kicking his ass. And I'm like, oh, I'm ready, man. I beat Mewtwo like without even breaking a sweat. And then we get there, and it was just a warm up round. And this like Asian girl just destroyed me. I'm like, what the? Oh, like my whole life's a lie. I just couldn't freaking believe it. And then the actual tournament started, and like I was so overwhelmed that I got just wrecked by this little Asian girl that who wasn't even in the tournament. She's like, oh, I'm just a standby. And I'm like, oh my god, like it's a good thing you're a standby. And anyways, I played against this other guy, and he just destroyed me. And then my whole hopes and dreams were just like crumbled and destroyed.
So you lost to an Asian girl who wasn't even part of the tournament, and then you get into the tournament and you get what, wrecked first round or?
Yeah, it was the best of three, and I beat him once, and then I'm like, okay, I can beat this guy. Like I just the first two were just like a complete write off. I got lost within 20 seconds, and I was like, oh my god, this is not gonna happen, right?
You just barely beat him. I was standing right behind you, and you were having trouble. And then I remember after you lost, you're like, it's the controller.
Well, you know what? I did wreck both my Nintendo 64 controllers playing that game growing up. Like, the control stick, just complete garbage now. So,
speaking of wrecking controllers, ever play the original Mario Party where you had to freaking rotate that joystick? Swear to God, in the middle of my hand was, there was like no skin there.
They actually had a lawsuit about that back in the day, and they were releasing like gloves that for that particular mini game you put this glove on. It's just to avoid the lawsuit. I just thought that was really funny.
I can see that, because that shit hurt. And then I've like broke two controllers doing that too. And then like that's back in the day when you could rent. Remember Blockbuster Video and all that, when you could rent consoles, go there, rent consoles? So I broke two of their controllers playing Mario Party.
And not only that, Mario Party is like the worst like friends over game ever. Like, you know, Monopoly is another bad one. Like any Mario Party game is a no-go zone. And on the Wii version of Mario Party, or one of the Wii version, if I had a camera up Will's face right now, it's just priceless. Anyways, that one has one game where you have to shake the soda bottle, and you have to be the first one to like open the bottle and then get your stream or whatever, your soda stream the highest. And the controls for that was like shaking the Wiimote back and forth. And if anyone's played that minigame, they know exactly what I'm talking about. And the funny thing is, if I was playing against you know a couple other guys and a couple girls, the girls would always win. Fun fact.
The way you just demonstrated that was a little super slow. If you want to win, you kind of want to jerk that a little more.
Yeah, you know, no visual for the audience, but I'm sure your mind is going exactly where it needs to go for that one. All right, moving away from that awful, god-awful installment of Mario Party. Okay, let's actually just talk about Mario Party for a second. Like, that game, which one is your favorite? Because they're all bad. Let's be honest. They're all just the worst thing ever made, but yeah.
The early ones were pretty good. Like, 1 and 2 were probably my favorite, maybe even 3. But when you get, like, later on, they just got too stupid and too kiddie. For my liking, and the mini games were stupid, and
yeah, I personally thought it was always really stupid, but you know, Nintendo didn't really have that many multiplayer games where you can just jump in with your friends and kind of have a good time. Mario Party, I think they were trying to attempt that more, but the minigames were very, very, very stupid. Even growing up, I thought they were just overdone.
I highly disagree. You had Smash Bros, you had Mario Kart, you had like anything other than Mario Party to play for multiplayer.
Yeah, I was just going to jump on that too.
No, but I mean, like, they don't have like a huge catalog of compared to like other consoles. They were trying to get more of multiplayer. They grew, like, Nintendo started, you know, with a two-player console, and then they've grown. Now we're at the Switch, which is back to pretty much a one player, if unless you really want to just each use a Joy-Con.
Well, like, not to mention that their online has always been garbage. So they did have a lot of multiplayer games, but that's how you did them back in the day. And now everything's online, and Nintendo's got to catch up.
All right, let's switch gears for a little bit, because we've been basically talking about Nintendo the whole time. Let's talk about some PS stuff.
All right, so I'm not huge on fighting games, but I remember the very first PlayStation game I played, and it had a huge impact on me and my friends, Tekken. It was just a different style game compared to what I was used to. I'd never played a fighting game, and it was more brutal. Like, I was a kid, like, watching my avatar, like, just literally pummel another, like, my friend's player, or even the story mode, it was just fun.
Yeah, Tekken was good. Gonna have to disagree with you there. I like Mortal Kombat, but they kind of did it a little RPG-ish too. So you, like, you had your fighter and you walked around and you challenged all the other fighters. That one was really good.
Now, see, I would have brought up Mortal Kombat, but because, like I said, I was never into fighting games, I didn't even own Tekken. My friend just brought it over to my place and said, oh, I picked this up cheap somewhere, I can't remember, and let's play. And but Tekken really brought me on the board and made me go back and revisit, like, the original Mortal Kombat on the Sega systems and stuff like that.
Yeah, that's I can't argue with anything there. I was gonna switch just a little bit. I was gonna bring up Grand Theft Auto. Especially, what was it, the one that was still Bird's Eye View, number 3?
It was on the SNES, right?
No, this is on PlayStation.
There was a Bird's Eye View one on the PlayStation?
Yeah. It was 3. It was the last one. Their video was actually so violent, it was banned. That game itself was banned in some countries.
Yeah, I remember reading this somewhere now. I thought that top down one was, like, on the SNES for some reason. And it's like, that's the most un-Nintendo game ever, and it's on the SNES by now.
No, it was kind of funny, though, because the game didn't even look that good. But, like, the video, the opening video, you're like, oh, man, this is gangster. And then you actually get into it, and you're like, oh, like, this isn't even that bad at all. But it got worse as we get down onto the PS4.
Yeah, but going back to fighting games, I'm kind of in the same boat as Will. I didn't really play too much. I wasn't really into them. But I did play, I mean, Pokken Tournament, which isn't a classic, but yeah, you guys both rolled your eyes, so I'm totally on that boat there. But I played, like, Soul Calibur for the GameCube version, because I'm like, I just want to play as Link. I don't give a crap who any of these other people are. So yeah, that and, like, actually, that's probably about it for me.
Yeah, I'm not the biggest into fighters either. Too many combos, too many hard combos. Yeah, it's just not my cup of tea either.
And then I just rage quit hard, because it's just like, I feel like I have no control over my character, like, personally. And then you go to the arcade, they still have those, they go to the arcade, and then there's, like, the old style fighting machine with, like, 18 buttons and, like, a joystick, and one guy's, like, just, like, comboing hard, and you're like, yeah, I could never even attempt to do that.
Now, going back, and, like, I remember, and I still, I would say, I guess on my latest, no, it would have been the 360 Tekken, and I can't remember what it was. I think that was 7 or 8. I bought the collector's edition, and I bought, it came with the arcade, like, the stick, but it only had the 4 buttons, so I didn't really have much to learn, right? But if we're talking another classic, and we're talking arcade a little bit, and it was at home release as well, DDR.
DDR, best drunk game ever.
Can't say that I'm good or a fan of DDR, but I love when, like, you go to the movie theater and you got the whole DDR setup and you see the little Asian kid just giving her props to him, but yeah, it's not my thing either.
I feel like you're just trying to cover up that you're just amazing at DDR, like you get so drunk that you just destroy everybody.
He makes those pecs dance.
Yeah, but yeah, I mean, it's always people that you don't expect to be good at the game too, and you're like, why? It's like Guitar Hero for like athletic people.
And then they get that little bar on the backs, and they grab the bar, and they're just, their feet are moving so fast.
Yeah, speaking of actually just kind of putting to the side classic games, and just, let's talk about arcade, like at the movie theater for a second. Every time I go to the movie theater, I'm down to play Time Crisis. Like, I love Time Crisis. I probably spend like $20 per go to the movie theater on Time Crisis, and then Will spends like maybe $5, but I'm just like all in on Time Crisis. So, any other games you guys like playing at the movie theaters?
It's a good question. I'm trying to think of Time Crisis is like one of the best. There's always the one with that big shotgun. I can't remember the name of it, but we got it at the Wonderland there. That one was always really good.
Yeah, the hunting one, right?
Yeah.
I find with those games, like, I'm not blaming the controller, but I'm blaming the controller. Like, it feels like the guns are just not calibrated properly. Like, the people who actually calibrated, like, don't give a shit. They're just like, just point at the screen at random and just calibrate it.
Yeah, when those animals are walking across, oh yeah, you're pointing right at the thing and you're missing it, or it's shooting to the left. Yeah.
Now, if we're talking about like games at movie theaters or just arcade in general, I may be coming off sounding a little older here, but I've really enjoyed playing Donkey Kong, the original Donkey Kong, Pac-Man, and even Golden Compass. The arcade versions just made the game that much better.
Oh, yeah, I've never played the arcade versions of those games. I mean, the NES was like the closest I got to those titles, but they didn't even have the original Donkey Kong in NES, did they? There was a big library of games. Actually, maybe it was. I mean, it has the same art style as any other NES game, so.
Yeah, Mario was on NES, right? Or was that Donkey Kong we were talking about? Like, Donkey Kong
the,
where he's
the
throwing
original.
He's throwing the barrels down and you have to get to Peach, right? That was on NES.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, what's some other classic arcade games that you guys have played that are cool, I guess?
Was that Donkey Kong or Mario?
It was Donkey Kong, because Mario already had his own franchise, and literally, they brought in Donkey Kong, and he wasn't what we know him as now. He was the antagonist, and he became something a lot more in the future, which another his own franchise, right?
Yeah, I actually played that game quite a bit in DK64, because there's the two mini games that you had to play. The harder one was the space man one. I can't remember the name of that one. We have to fly around and collect all these things. That game was actually hard in the actual Donkey Kong 64.
Diddy Kong 64 is pretty good, too. Or I think that was the sequel, or it came out a little after, but it was still it was on the 64. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was a pretty good one, too.
Now, talking about the original Donkey Kong, the first one was okay. The second one, do you know, because I still have my Game Boy, and I go back and play it periodically, I just beat the second Donkey Kong, I think maybe 6 or 7 years ago. That was a game, like, I always got to that last final level, and I just blew it.
So, sorry, which one?
I think it was Donkey Kong 2.
Donkey Kong Country 2?
No, it was, like, still Barrel, I think, I'm pretty sure. It was the original, yeah.
Oh, DK, like, Donkey Kong Jr., where he's wearing a t-shirt, right? Yeah.
We're going a little off topic here, but speaking of bosses that just were impossible and drive you nuts, was Banjo-Kazooie, the witch there at the end. She was brutal, and that was one of them. I literally rage quit and just smashed my controller.
Actually, I'm going to completely agree. I'm pretty sure I put down that game for a couple months. It might have even been a year before I picked up Banjo-Kazooie again, because that boss fight literally ruined the game for me.
For me, the worst boss ever is from Majora's Mask, and it's that stupid water temple fish thing. I just, like, no matter what you do, you're getting injured, like a lot. So you went in with max fairies and you used all of them. Like, oh, that boss. That temple itself was just super annoying. And then add that boss to it, that's just, like, the worst level / boss ever.
Now, kind of starting to change the topic and go back to classics, I want to bring up PlayStation again. I'm a big comic fan. Marvel, DC, Dark Horse, everything. One of the biggest games I played, and it still is in my head to this day, would have been the Spider-Man game for the PlayStation. It was like a huge open world, and it literally allowed you to web swing around the city. Did either of you get a chance to play this?
I wasn't sure if it was the original one, but I did play one of those Spider-Man, and it was incredible. It like looked amazing. You're swinging around. There's a Statue of Liberty, and it was incredible. The first one was a little too sandboxy. If I'm not wrong, you couldn't go on the ground. If you fall down, you die. Yeah. But the other one was huge, open world. You know, you're walking around in the streets. That one was my favorite.
Yeah, literally. For its time, like if I was to go back to that game now, it would literally look horrible. I haven't played it in years, but it's in my head. Like it's always going to be there. I don't know if I ever want to revisit the game unless maybe it got remastered. But hey, we keep getting Spider-Man games, right? So why would they remaster it?
Yeah. That was on the PS1. You guys said, right? So yeah, I didn't play very many PS1 games because I. Like, before I got my 64, it was, like you said earlier, Mark, when Blockbuster rented out game systems. So we got the PS1, we got Croc, which was, well, I liked it, but now that I'm actually, you know, a game connoisseur, if you will, it was garbage. But I played Gran Turismo and Spyro, Twisted Metal, all those, you know, general PS1 games.
Twisted Metal, that was a good one. That game when it first came out, that was different. That game was really fun.
I always chose the cops because I just like zapping them with the lights. But yeah, that game was fun. And yeah, then I got the 64, and then I just said Sony, sorry, I'm a Nintendo lifer now. So
yeah, I'm gonna go back to Twisted Metal. I actually had the privilege of meeting the game creator. If I'm trying to remember his name correctly, I think it's David Jaffe. I'm looking this up right now. But he's also the developer and creator for the God of War series, which I'm a huge fan of. And that's also going back. I guess the first God of War was on the PS2, which I think we're still going to consider a classic. That was a huge title for the PlayStation.
Yeah, I would agree if I played it. I've never played it because, like I said, I just stuck to the Nintendo line. I played a lot of Xbox too, but I never really stuck with PS at all.
I was going to bring that up next is Xbox. Like, we should talk about Xbox because that system, when it came out, was so powerful. When Halo came out, it was so gorgeous. Everyone loved Halo. What were your thoughts about Halo?
Well, I actually have probably put more hours into Halo than I like all the Halos than Pokemon Puzzle League. And like, I don't think anyone understands how many hours I put into Pokemon, but like, I'd come home every day and play for like 4 hours. And that's 4 hours for like 9 years. I played that game. I swear to God. And it's just like,
how was your online? How was your online game? Cause you talked about doing a lot of speed runs and stuff like that, but did you ever get into the online?
Yeah, I was definitely into the online. I was a god awful in Halo 1 and 2, but I was god awful in Halo 2, but Halo 3 is when I started to get a little bit better. I was able to, you know, not die every 2 seconds, and then Halo Reach is when I really took off playing competitively with Halo.
Now, we've touched up on that the Halo subject on a previous podcast, so I don't want to talk about it too much. But if we're going to talk about classics, yes, Halo 1, amazing game. And like you brought up, speedrunning, yes, Rodney and I have done that, and it's very fun to do a Halo 1 speedrun. Now, if we're going to talk about number two can just go die.
Yeah, after you get Jackal 360 no-scope sniped, I'm just so done with that game, I just don't want to do it anymore.
Number two is really good. I was a big, I love number two. Like, online, I got so good at, like, sticking people. Like, I remember there was that small where there was like a base on either side, and you could literally just from one base just stick guys that were like trying, that were just hanging out on the other side.
Yeah, there's like a different version of that map on every Halo, but yeah, I know the one you're talking about, the sniper map, right? Yeah
it was that map.
So you liked Halo 2. I think you're going to have to join us on one of our next upcoming speed runs, and we're going to see if you like Halo 2 as much as you do. On Legendary, when you get Jackal no scoped and he doesn't, like, he literally doesn't look at you. He's just like, sideways, bang, you're dead.
Well, once we do three, you can do four-player co-op, so we'll make you... Three's going to be unforgiving as well, but not as bad as Halo 2, but still.
Did you see that red versus blue that came out of from Halo 2? I think that came out like right after Halo 2. That was always hilarious, those comic strips.
Yeah, those guys did a good job making some funny stuff, and... So check out Red versus Blue, which I'm sure anyone who's listening to this has, because it's a thing. But
yeah, I love Red versus Blue. Everyone knows, I go to a PAX every year, and I remember a couple years ago, Red versus Blue were there in full force, and they were selling limited edition Master Chief figures, red and blue.
Right on. So Halo, going back to Halo 1 was, as a game, a masterpiece, in my humble opinion. Like, perfectly balanced, for its time, mind you. Perfectly balanced. You felt like a super soldier, like your character was actually supposed to be portraying. I mean, even on Legendary, like, once you get good, you still feel like a super soldier, right? So,
they actually brought out the... I don't know if you knew about this, but instead of, like a LAN party, you would hook up your... PC, it would be like Xbox Connect.
System Link.
System Link, yeah. You could actually System Link your Xbox and play Halo with, like, online, like the original. And that was super fun too, but it was the pistol that kind of ruined that for me. It was just too overpowered, and that's like the only gun that anyone ever used.
The human pistol?
Yeah.
Yeah, the human pistol saves your life in single player, because you're like, oh, Hunter, single shot from the pistol just kills it, or something else single killed stuff besides the rocket launcher, obviously, and the sniper rifle. The shotgun, I guess, yeah.
I love the pistol. I played Halo 1 multiplayer probably with my friends a lot, and my two weapons were the sniper and the pistol, and no one could stand in my way.
Well, yeah, because the sniper, you can one-shot kill anybody, you shoot him in the freaking toe and he's dead, like, you know, so, yeah, they definitely fixed that in Halo 2, where you can't kill anything with a sniper rifle, so. Alright, so, I think it's time to check out the news of the week here, Will, so why don't you take that away and let us know what's happening this week in gaming news.
Alright, so we're gonna start this off now, since it's the beginning of the month, and, everyone, welcome to March. Yeah. Let's start with games with gold. So, anyone out there with gold subscription for Xbox, you're now available to download Trials of the Blood Dragon for the Xbox One and Superhot, which is an award-winning first-person shooter developed by a relatively new indie studio. I wish I wrote down the name. I just can't remember it. And then also on the 360, we have Brave the video game, which was amazing. If either of you got the chance to play it, we'll maybe touch up on that in a second.
Is that like based off the Disney Brave?
Yes.
Oh, really? So you get like fight bears and stuff?
Yeah,
bears?
But it was super fun. It was a different style game. And then for 360 as well, we have the Quantum Conundrum. I've never played it. I might give it a shot. Maybe I'll pull out my 360. PlayStation Plus, this... I guess more up your alley, Mark. We have Bloodborne, now available to be downloaded for free with PlayStation Plus, and we also have Ratchet and Clank.
I was never a fan of Bloodborne. I thought that's like kind of like it was like a poor man's God of War a little bit.
Now, if we're talking Bloodborne, which we can touch up on it right here, right now, that was a game I did not rage quit, but it was very close to a game that I actually threw a controller through a glass window, and that would be called Dark Souls.
Damn.
Yeah, that's all you got to say, Mark. You ever played Dark Souls and you're a PS dude?
No, I've never played Dark Souls.
Well, lucky you, because, you know, I've almost killed someone once because of Dark Souls. No, I just died a lot in Dark Souls. The game was ridiculously hard, but the third one is a little bit more forgiving, but not by much.
Actually, going back there, wasn't there a game for I don't know if it was Super Nintendo or Nintendo, but you literally couldn't die? You had to do the whole game from start to finish, and there was no saves, and it was probably one of the most difficult games. The name is escaping me right now, but
you know what I'm talking about, right?
I'm trying to remember the name. I do relatively remember something similar to that. What about you, Rodney?
How about any NES game ever? You gotta finish the game all in one go. Unless you're like I said in the top 10, like Zelda was, you got your save, but the game wasn't easy. It was super challenging. Anyways, what's happening in the news still there, Will? Keep her going.
Going with PlayStation Plus for PS3, you can now download Legend of K and also Mighty Number 9, which is created by Keiji Inafune, which was the creator of Mega Man, which we were talking about earlier. I really enjoyed Mighty Number 9. I'd tell anyone out there to maybe give it a shot. It is a cross-buy, so if you download it on the PS3, you can also get it on the PS4. Also, we have any Vita lovers out there, you're now available to download Claire Extended Cut and The Bombing Busters, which is also another cross-buy with the PS4. Now, going into gaming news, unfortunately, I haven't had a chance to completely get all the news this week, but I want to talk up on three things that I noticed. And the first one is the new Xbox Spring Update is now going to add 1440p video support. Now, come on, give me your thoughts.
1440? That's strange. I work professionally in like film and video, and I like that seems strange to me. 1440. That's not an aspect ratio that I would ever choose. So I mean there's 1920 by 1080, which is the standard HD formatting, but yeah, 1440. I think it might be an HDR thing actually. Now that I think about it. So, yeah, you can look that up and could be completely paired for the next pod.
Yeah, I'm not podcast, too really sure.
So since I've been killing it and surprising you guys, I'll just add this. Star Fox actually was developed by Rare.
Oh man, we need to buy you a case of beer here. Wow. So, but you know, and then we can give Google one as well, because I'm sure, you know. But yeah, 1440 has something to do with HDR. Audience, if I'm completely wrong and a big fat liar, let me know.
We all look into this a bit more. Maybe we can touch up on it next week in the news thing as well, because that seems like a pretty big update. For the Xbox, what do you guys think?
Yeah, I mean, they need to fix Master Chief Collection because that's way overdue. You know, HDR supports what people are moving towards now to, you know, for a little bit more realism and stuff. So, yeah.
Speaking of Master Chief Collection, I don't think we're going to get any updates for that or any fixes. They pretty much just abandoned that, and that's what they've pretty much said. So let's hold out hope for maybe a new announcement of another Halo game this year. Cross your fingers.
Yeah, I really like Master Chief Collection, and I like doing the achievement hunting, because like that game, I feel like I'm fulfilling something when I'm going after all these achievements, even though I'm really not. I'm just spending more time in front of the TV, you know.
All right, and also this week we were treated to a brand new Far Cry 5 trailer. It's called Baptism, and we will have it shortly on our social media pages. Have either of you gotten a chance to check it out?
I did. It looks great. I mean, I picked up the last Far Cry Primal, played that a bit. I wasn't too impressed with the whole idea. I mean, there was a lot to do, so it was good. But I'm hoping to get a little more from this one.
Far Cry Primal was a different situation for the Far Cry series. Story-wise, there was still a little bit, but it took a while to get used to just caveman speaking gibberish.
There was no story. I felt the story in Far Cry was very shallow, didn't really touch on much. And then the whole caveman thing kind of got old super fast, like not enough attacks, not enough to do kind of thing.
I haven't played anything past the first one. I played a lot of the first one, and I remember liking the story in the first one. I can't recall exactly what it was because it was like 10 years ago, but...
The first one, like a classic game, definitely. I'm going to hopefully touch up your memory a little bit, but you play a soldier that's kind of lost his way, and he gets injected with this experimental drug that kind of turns him a little more feral and gives him like animal powers. Do you guys remember this a little bit?
Yeah, it's coming back now. I remember that, and I just remember it was an FPS, and it was fun, and yeah. I played a lot of that.
It was also re-released on the Wii, if anyone remembers that, and the controls weren't too bad, but I did have some problems with it.
That's a lot of things with stuff that's been ported to the Wii. Like, everyone's like, why are the controls so stupid? You know, I played Call of Duty World at War on the Wii, and I was really good at it because I didn't have to, it was like kind of like PC, like PC gamers just destroy console players because they have that freedom to move their looking axis around more freely. And I felt like that way on the Wii because I was pointing at the screen exactly where I wanted to aim, so I was like out reflexing everybody, right? So, all right, any more news for the week there, Will?
And there's also a new game announced, Defiance 2050. Now, the original Defiance wasn't a huge seller off the bat. It kind of took off more when the TV show was announced, which was developed by Sci-Fi. I don't know if either of you got a chance to check it out. I enjoyed it. I like sci-fi shows, so I always get the chance to check those out. It lasted 3 seasons, and it was fun to watch, so I'm looking forward to getting another sci-fi game that kind of gives me a good sci-fi feel. Guys ever look into the first Defiance, hear anything about it? Like I said, it kind of like just went under the rug.
No, I can't say I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, I didn't hear about the game until you literally just said it like 2 seconds ago, so sorry. Yeah, we should be on this podcast. Actually, Mark's earned his strike. I'll leave. I'll just get up and leave, and you guys can just record this whole thing by yourself here.
No, you're the host, man. We need you.
All right. And then we released a video the other day on the new ESRB response to the loot boxes and DLC and stuff. What are your thoughts on that, Will?
Well, we are going to touch up on that in an upcoming podcast, but it's a situation that has plagued gamers for a while now. Maybe not so bad than it's gotten when Battlefront 2 really got all that controversy. Getting a little tongue-tied on that one. But I don't really think ESRB, what they're doing, is going to make a difference. You're literally just putting a label on a game. If that's going to stop someone from buying loot boxes or even just putting them in games, I don't think it really matters.
Honestly, you get what you pay for. There's some people that need to have like 100 different costumes or this or that. And then there's other people that don't care. I don't see what the big deal is. And I mean, yeah, I guess like you brought up earlier, Rodney, that kids could steal or the credit card from their mom and, you know, buy like $10,000 worth of loot boxes. But I mean, you should keep that stuff out of your child's hands anyway. So I don't know.
Yeah, I do agree. That is definitely, if when I have kids, my credit card's going to be a little more secure. So I'm not going to be one of those poor suckers you read about on the internet that their kids just spent all their money. But there's also another thing that I find funny. And I guess I'm going to have to bring up a story I remember reading a couple weeks ago. Is there, if anyone, either of you are aware, have played, what is it called? Counter-Strike, CSGO. They do a lot of loot boxes for their guns and even weapon skins and stuff like that. And there was literally a skin, just a sniper skin. Now, I'm seriously telling you, it was a skin. Just an in-game skin. Like, seriously, that sold for $60,000.
What are you kidding? It doesn't increase the damage. It doesn't do anything else. Just look different. Wow.
Yeah. I wouldn't spend 60 grand on, you know, like a good pair of shoes, you know, like, so, let alone a skin on a game. So
that's crazy. And that's what I mean. Like, that's to his their own. That's fine. But like, I mean, the ratings on the box aren't going to do anything.
No, but literally like it's a skin. I think that is where people are making money off of a couple of the loot boxes things. I think there is a few things that some games are doing properly. Like if you get a loot box, the thing is equipped to your account, bound to it, where you can't try to make money off of things that you've kind of like gotten through the loot boxes.
Yeah, and kind of we were talking about this off the air, Mark, but you're saying like it's one thing if it's like, hey, give us this much money. Like, I'm going to use Clash of Clans. Like, sorry, gamers. There's memes going around the internet right now, but Clash of Clans not being an actual video game, but I'm just going to use it as an example. Clash of Clans, you go into the shop, and it's like, hey, you give us $27.99, you get this, and you get that. End of story. So, okay, I'll spend $27.99 on that. No problem, right? But it's just the RNG-based system of the loot boxes that's just like, oh, I just spent, like, $4 and I got like duplicate items. Like what is this, right? And what the ESRBs, they only responded because some lawyer in California was like, hey, you should do something or we're gonna take you to court. And they're like, all right, here, we're gonna put labels on that. You know what I mean? Like, it's just complete reactionary to this lawyer thing that happened, or the senator or whatever it was. And yeah, it's just they need to do more than just put a label on the box. They're trying to reach out to parents and be like, hey, you know, here's how you handle the parental controls on the system. How does that stop anything? You know, they're still going to get your credit card and they're still going to spend money. They're going to find ways around it. Like, you know, these new kids just know technology, like they're born into it. So
I also think it's just like the one thing is just kind of greasy. They're already charging us like $80 for a game. And now it's like, oh, $20 for this DLC, $40 for this, and like you say, sometimes you get absolute garbage, and it's like, oh, okay.
I just don't like loot boxes. But yeah, like you said, like, let's use Destiny as an example, where you know what? Let's cut it off here, because the next podcast is going to be about DLC and loot boxes and console exclusives, so we can get way more into this on the next podcast. So the podcast, I'm sure you noticed, is quite long. We just did a recent poll on our Facebook page. How long do you like podcasts? Do you like 30 to 60 minutes, or do you like 60 to 90 minutes? I listen to podcasts that are 2 hours long. I don't know why, but I do. So yeah, just if this podcast was way too long, just shoot a comment on our Facebook page and we'll shorten it just a little bit and make it just short enough so that you can drive to work and listen to our podcast. Anyways, thanks a lot for listening to the VGN podcast. Let us know your thoughts on our Facebook page or whatever else, or our Facebook page or Twitter or Instagram, or if it's a social media outlet, we're on it. So check us out, leave some comments, leave some likes, suggestions, anything like that. Mark, you got anything to say before we sign off here?
I took the words out of my mouth. Give us a shout, Instagram, Facebook, all that, and let us know how we're doing.
Yeah, it's a team game here, boys and girls, so let us know how we're doing, and let us know how we can get better and keep you entertained. So thanks a lot. Next episode's coming out on Thursday, March 8th. It'll be all about DLC and loot boxes, like I said. So thanks, and we'll see you all on the next one.
One-800-Flowers.com is more than your birthday, anniversary, or just because gift-giving destination. We put our hearts into everything we do to help you celebrate all life's special occasions with friends and family. From our farmers and bakers, florists and makers, everything from 1-800-Flowers is made with love every step of the way, because we know that nothing is more important than delivering a smile. To learn more, visit 1-800-Flowers.com/ACAST. That's 1-800-Flowers.com/ACAST.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.